I should not sell. Parshat Naso is the longest single parsha in the entire, out of the entire 54 parshiyot of the Torah. It has 176 psukim. And pardon me for saying so, but if I had done the editing on Parshat Naso, I could have made the parsha a lot smaller. We would be out of shul a lot quicker this coming Shabbos. And it'll take a lot less time to do Shnai Mikra Vechasargu. Why do I make such a brazen claim? Because if you take a look at the last section of the Parsha, the Torah describes the Karbanos that the Nesiim brought at the time of the Chanukah Samishka. And each day, for 12 days straight, one of the Nesiim brought the Karban. And the Torah gives assigns 6 psukim to each of the Nesiim, describing the Karban that they brought. Very simple arithmetic, 12 Nesiim, 6 psukim, that's 72 psukim, describe the Karbanos that the Nesiim brought. Now I would cut out most of it, not because I have anything against some of the Nesiim. But if you take even a very brief glance at the Karbanos that the Nesiim brought, you will see that it becomes a little bit monotonous. On the first day, Nachshon ben Aminadab, the Nasi of Shevet Yehuda, brings his Karbanos. And there's the Kara of Kesef, and there's the Mizrak of Kesef, and there's Solet, and there's Ktoret, and there's a Par, and there's an Ayel, and there's a Kebet, and a Sirizim, and there's Bakar Shnayim, and Elim Chamisha, and Kvasim Chamisha. Very, very fine Karban by Nachshon ben Aminadab on the first day. Then the Torah gives us 6 psukim to describe the Karban of Nesana ben Suar, Shevet Yisachar. And lo and behold, it's the exact same Karban that Nachshon ben Aminadab brought. And on the third day, Eliyahu ben Chela, the Nasi of Zvulun, also has 6 psukim, bringing the exact same Karban that Nesana ben Suar brought, that Nachshon ben Aminadab brought. And each one of the Nesiim brought the exact same Karban that the others had brought. And therefore, I would have said, let the Torah tell us that each of the Nesiim brought the Karban, describe it in 6 psukim, and we would save ourselves dozens and dozens of psukim. The Torah, which is so medaktek on letters, not to have an extra letter, spends dozens and dozens of psukim re-describing the exact same Karban. Why? The author of Kelm, Simcha Zichron, gave the following explanation. Nachshon ben Aminadab brings his Karban on the first day. Chazal described for us how each aspect of the Karban represented something. So one would think, and correctly so, that these Karbanos were l'reach n'choach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much appreciated these Karbanos. They were tremendously l'ratzav. They made a great roshem in Shammai. But what happened when the son of Ben Sur brought his carbon on the next day, and Eliyahu ben Chilom brought his carbon on the next day, and Elitzur ben Shteyor brought his carbon, and Shlomiel ben Sirishad, and all in the sea and bring the same carbon? So I would have thought, I got involved and says again, okay, very nice, very nice. The first time it made a roshah. But the second time it wasn't unique anymore, and the third time it certainly wasn't unique. So the author of Kelm, if the Torah would have just described the carbon once and said, and he brought, and everybody brought the same one, then that would have been correct. The message would have been, the Karban was very nice the first time, and after a while it lost its uniqueness and it was monotonous. But that's not what happened in Shammai. The second day, the Karban that was brought was just as unique as it was on the first day. And why is that so, says the author of Kelm? To the exact same Karban. The It was brought by a different person. And in Shamayim, every person is unique. And it doesn't matter to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the first, the Korban of Nesano ben Tzur was the same as Nachshon ben Aminadav. Because in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, it wasn't the same Korban. Because this was Nesano ben Tzur's Korban. And what Nesano ben Tzur does is unique to me. And it doesn't matter that it's the same thing as Nachshon ben Aminadav. And Eliyahu ben Chelon is different, is a different person than Nesano ben Tzur. And his Korban is unique, therefore. Because in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each and every one of us is unique. And that's the message of the Korbanos of Parshas Masa. We're all unique in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that we do, every aspect of our Avodas Hashem, is something unique in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam. You are a unique person. You're special. You're not just a member of Klal Yisrael. You're more than that. You're an Olam Malan. You're a world in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're a whole world in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you do your Avodas Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyachol drops everything else. Because something is happening on this earth that's very unique. It's what you're doing. And there's no one else like you. The pasuk we say every day in Sukkot Zimra, pasuk from Tehillim, Gadol Adonenu V'Rav Koach V'Sunaso Ein Mispar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great. And his wisdom, Ein Mispar, knows no bounds. So the standard interpretation is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wisdom knows no bounds. There's no limit to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. There's no upper limit. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal once explained differently. Sunasu Ein Mispar, it doesn't mean that there's no upper limit. There's no lower limit. There is nothing insignificant in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no person who is insignificant in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am a person on a planet with billions of people. Part of a solar system, of a galaxy, of a universe. I'm smaller than a speck of dust. That's cool. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays attention to you. Sunaso Ein Mispar. There's no limit, no lower limit to what can be chashiv in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam. We sometimes make a mistake. We think otherwise. Think that our actions are insignificant. This week we'll be reading Megillas Ruth. The story goes that Ruth is going collecting the field of a relative known as Boaz. Boaz sees her and he says to her, "Come, goshi halom. I'll give you bread, v'chalz min alechem, v'tavalt v'teich v'chomet. Come, I'll feed you." Patesha mitzad ha-kolstrim, she sits where the workers, Boaz workers, were sitting. V'yitzbat la-kali v'tocha v'tisba v'tosa. He gives her some kali, he gives her some grain, and she ate, and she was satisfied, and she had leftovers. What did Boaz do? He gave her a little bit to eat. So all he did was give her a little bit to eat. Listen to what the Medrash Rabbah says on this pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Meryam ba'akasav lelam decha shim adam oseh mitzvah yaseh nebelev avshalei If you do a mitzvah, you better do it wholeheartedly. She'ilu haya yodeya boaz. Shakadish Bochu Maxi Balava Yitzfat Lakali Vatoka Batizba Vatosa, if Boaz would have known that for generations, thousands of years, people are reading a pasuk that says that he gave her some grain to eat, and she ate, and she was satisfied, and she had left over. If he would have known that that would have been written for posterity, for eternity, Edlos Mufutano Sayamachila, he would have said to myself, why? Well, I gave her grain, I should have given her the steaks. I knew that that little gesture would be written down, and for thousands of years, people will be reading about it. When you do something, you better do it wholeheartedly. Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Yeshua, the Sichni, B'Shem Rabbi Levi, says, "L'sha'over ha'ya'odam osam mitzvah v'anavi kosa." In past years, in previous times, a person, any person, could do the smallest mitzvah, and the Navi would write it down. Ba'achshav kishadam osam mitzvah nikosa. We don't have Nevi'im. When I do a mitzvah, so who writes it down for eternity? Who's writing a Megillah about me? So the Medrash says, Eliyahu kosa, u'melech ha-mashiach, v'akadosh baruch hu kosa magidei. Eliyahu HaNavi writes it down, and Melech HaMashiach and the Ribono Shel Olam sign on. Everything I do, every small gesture, every mitzvah is written down perfect. Not because I'm a Boaz, not because I'm Ruth, because I'm unique. Because in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each and every one of us is unique. We're all special in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Ribono Shel Olam wants to have a relationship with every one of us. We're not insignificant. We don't have to be an Avram, a Miriam, a Moshe, a Boaz, a Ruth. Just who we are is vital to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants the relationship with us. The only question we have to answer is, do we want the relationship with Him? For many of you, many people, I think up until the year that you come studying Eretz Yisrael, the relationship you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cordial, but somewhat distant. We go and we do the things that we're supposed to do, because that's the way we're brought up. And we go through the motions. Go through the motions of davening, and go through the motions of studying Torah. We go through the motions of celebrating the holidays and Shabbos. But I think it's very distant. Like we keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little distance. Don't interfere in my life too much. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. But there's a limit. And now, after a year of intense study, of being in Eretz Yisrael, of maturing, of being somewhat independent, thinking on your own, I think in many, many cases, the relationship has changed. The relationship has gotten closer. In many ways, the relationship has become much more intimate. Slowly but surely, we've allowed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to enter into our lives. We've opened up our hearts, not only our minds. And now, our davening is not just by rote. And our learning is not just because we're having a test next week. And Shabbos is not just the day that I'm not supposed to do certain things. And Yom Tov is coming up, we look forward to it. Because Baruch Hu invites us into his home. And we anticipate. It's great symbol. And I think the relationship has changed from what it was to what it is. Now the question is, what will be? What will be when a few weeks from now we leave the building and we leave Yerushalayim and we leave Eretz Yisrael? Do we maintain the relationship? Or does it dissipate? Does it go back to that friendly, cordial, but distant one? The story that's told, I don't know if it's true, but there's definitely a lot of truth to it. About a young boy whose parents weren't religious, Jewish boy. Parents weren't religious, but the grandparents were religious. The kid was brought up in his parents' home, and he didn't know very much about Yiddishkeit. But at some point, the parents decided to take a two-week vacation, and the child was a little too young to go with them, so they asked the grandparents if they were to watch the child for a couple of weeks. The grandparents readily agreed, and the day came, the parents came, dropped off the grandchild, and the parents went off to the airport to go on their vacation. And the grandparents, being loving grandparents, entertained the child, did all sorts of special things with him, but they also taught him a little bit in those 2 weeks about Yiddishkeit. He was there for a couple of Shabbosos. Talked a little bit about kashrus. Grandfather took him to shul. And he noticed different things around the house. And amongst them, grandfather pointed out what a mezuzah was. Some people come in, they get some mezuzah. Explained to him what a mezuzah was about. And the child seemed to be quite interested. The time passed all too quickly. The vacation was over. The parents came back to pick up the grandchild. And the grandchild gave his grandfather a big hug and a kiss, and his grandmother a big hug and a kiss. And then he wished them goodbye, and he ran for the car to go with his parents. Just before the car pulled away, all of a sudden, the door opens up, and the boy comes running back to the house. And he goes and he puts his hand on the mezuzah, and he kisses the mezuzah, and he says, "Goodbye, God," and he leaves. And how will we leave, or how will you leave, 25 or called Najat? When you kiss that mezuzah, what will you say? I'll tell you what you should say. Say the pasuk that the Rama says, when you leave a house and you put your hand on the mezuzah, you don't say goodbye. See the pasuk from Tehillim, Hashem Yishma says Chavarecha Me'atzav Yad Olam. Now the Rama writes it to personalize. Hashem Yishma Tzeisi Uvaasi. You ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continue being part of your life. And if you ask, you will do so. Okay? You will talk.